The deal recently announced between Iran and several other countries, including this one, is meant to slow down Iran's efforts to develop nuclear weapons. Long before the announcement, critics voiced big concerns about the deal, and once it was announced, the concerns were voiced even louder. Israel's prime minister condemned the deal as a historic mistake. He does not speak for all residents and friends of Israel, it turns out. An organization called J Street speaks out in favor of the deal. Today's guest is one of the speakers organized by J Street. Alan Pincus is a former consul general to Israel in the United States in New York City and is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Alan Pincus, welcome.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Help us understand first, do you live in Israel or do you live in the United States?
No, I live in Israel.
Okay. And what is J Street about?
I'm not affiliated with J Street, and I don't work for J Street, but J Street is an important organization that sprung up into action a few years back on, I'd say, the more progressive, more liberal, more democratic spectrum of American politics, but primarily concerning the Israeli and the Middle East issue. They define themselves, and this is how I think we should define them, as a pro-Israel, pro-peace. Whatever that entails.
Is that a difficult position to hold in Israel these days, or at least it's a very much a minority position, isn't it, pro-Israel, pro-peace?
You know, it really depends how you posit the question and how you present it to people. I mean, people are understandably disillusioned with the so-called unending peace process, and people are understandably anxious about this nasty neighborhood that we are living in, the Middle East in general, which is turning exponentially chaotic, anarchic, and unpredictable. And people are wary of the intentions of some other countries, such as Iran, which I assume is our main topic of conversation. So yes, holding that position outrightly is a minority view. Holding the other position outrightly is also a problem. I'd say roughly, Jeff, that 70% of Israelis are dead on the center on most peace-related region or geopolitical-related issues, with a very slight right-wing tilt born out of suspicion and disillusionment. But that doesn't mean that cannot be changed if both the right-wing and the left-wing in Israel understand that 100% of what they have advocated just doesn't work.
What is it? I mean, the Iran deal has been discussed for a couple of years now. Did it always seem like a good idea to you from the beginning? Were you a little skeptical at first? Describe your own evolution.
I was very skeptical at the outset, and I am still skeptical. But I think that you know, defining it as a good deal or a bad deal is effectively reducing it to some kind of a binary. You know, it's got to be either or. It's not. Iran is a dangerous country. Iran should have been dealt with earlier. Israel has alerted the world, successive governments, by the way, including this one led by Mr. Netanyahu, and he's done a very good job at it, at alerting the world and kind of globalizing the issue of a radical regime coupled with the possibility of weapons of mass destruction, especially and particularly a nuclear device, would have been disastrous not just for Israel, not just for Saudi Arabia, but indeed for the entire world, because it would have led to unintended consequences and so on and so forth. So I've always been skeptical. That established, there had to be a deal, because here's the thing. In the absence of a clear-cut military option, which I think both Israel and the U.S. decided each for its own reasons not to employ in the last 3-4 years. And in the absence of an ideal deal, because we do not live in an ideal world, this deal presents at least the potential to succeed. It is flawed. It's got issues. If you read the text, you surely can't be 100% happy with it. But the question is not whether the text is flawed, but whether or not the alternative was viable. And the alternative, apparently, either it doesn't exist or is not viable.
What are some of the flaws that you have the most issue with?
Well, there are three, I think, major flaws. First of all, you know, I'll quote the president. This is not about trust. This is not the president of the United States. This is not about trust. This is about verification. Once you accept that as a premise, then it all looks better, obviously contingent upon the Iranians adhering to it and complying with it. But the inspections regime that has been installed had some flaws in terms of the accessibility of going into Iranian military bases. And while the impetus or the incentive or the possibility of Iran cheating has been significantly diminished, and I just saw a statement made by the deputy director of the CIA to that effect, you still have to look at a pattern of deceit that has characterized Iran for a long time. The second is the immediate removal or almost immediate removal of sanctions. That kind of condones or accepts or recognizes Iran's menacing and destabilizing role in the Middle East. And in that respect, an influx of anywhere between, and the estimates range from 50 to 60 billion to up to $150 billion once sanctions, American, European, Russian, Chinese, and so on, are removed, that would be used, or at least some of it will be used to further fund terrorism and instability, which is something that is a game changer. It's kind of a recognition of Iran's power in the region, and this is something that Israelis, for good reasons, are anxious about.
Mm-hmm. And there was a third reason for
I think I forgot what it was.
Okay. All right. Alan Pincus is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, former consul general of Israel in New York City. He favors, although obviously with some reservations, the deal with Iran over the nuclear program. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. John in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Thank you. So I guess my question is, have things gotten any better or any worse? And we could go back to, say, the 9/11 attack, or even back to the Six Day War in 1976, I believe. Do you have a sense? Do you have a sense that things are getting any better between, let's face it, the Israelis and the other Arab states, or is it even worse than was years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, thanks for the question. I think it's not about worse or better. I think it has changed dramatically. What we've seen, I mean, you described, the Six-Day War for 1967 and onwards. The context was a Cold War. There was a Soviet Union. It had Arab protégés. It had clients in the Arab world. And then, boom, in the 1990s, early 90s, there's no Soviet Union. And fast forward 10 or 15 years later, there is a complete breakdown of the so-called Arab order. So in that respect, sir, relations with the Arabs have not improved to the point of peace of the kind you have with Canada or Belgium has with the Netherlands, but it hasn't worsened. And in terms of military threats on Israel from the Arab world, they have, in fact, significantly diminished. That doesn't mean that there are no other threats out there, because the collapse of the Arab nation state leads to fragmentation. You see ISIS, you see Hamas, you see Hezbollah, all kinds of organizations, and the dividing line amongst them is religious. It is Shiite and Sunni, and we're stuck right in the middle of that neighborhood. So, in short, my answer to you is it changed, not necessarily for worse, not necessarily for better. It's just the dynamics have changed in a major way.
Iran being a Shiite country, does it make a certain level of sense to make better friends there, given that you can then play the Shiites off the Sunnis? I mean, is it gotten to that level, you think?
No, this is something that Israel, and if I may, neither America, if I may make this a recommendation, nor America should get into, because it's a no-win. It's a lose-lose situation if you try and get in between Sunnis and Shiites. I mean, look, on the one hand, the Shiites have always been the sponsors of terrorism and the destabilizing efforts and successes of Iran. And on the other hand, Al-Qaeda and 9/11, those were all Sunnis. And the most extremist organizations right now are Sunnis. And who's fighting ISIS? Shiite Iran. And with Kurds, who are Sunnis but not Arab. So I don't want to get all our listeners confused about this, because it is a very convoluted thing. But I would not go I would not play actively in this arena, in this game. I would let it play it out. I would allow it to play out, hopefully, for the improvement of the entire region, not just Israel.
All right, so to Prime Minister Netanyahu's characterization of the deal with Iran as a historic mistake, how do you work against that, given in particular that the PM and his supporters, particularly in this country, bring up the specter of Neville Chamberlain reaching a deal with Hitler and all of that? How do you overcome that viewpoint?
I'm not working against the Prime Minister, not now, not ever, and certainly not when I'm away from Israel. I think he's making valid points. The Prime Minister has been making valid points on the Iran issue for many years. I think there was a degree of mismanagement on how to get more involved in the in this deal, in the negotiations leading to this deal, and this has to do with a certain a souring of relations between him and President Obama in the last 5-6 years. I think right now he is trying to undermine this deal, and again, I don't see how that can succeed, and I think there are repercussions and consequences to attached to failing to achieve that goal. However, this is who he is. I mean, he genuinely believes that this is an existential threat and that this agreement is bad. That there's no spinning here. There's no political maneuvering here, and there's no posturing or grandstanding. Some of the rhetoric may sound extremist to all of us. By the way, on both sides of the argument, I mean, it's neither Neville Chamberlain nor is it the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity. It's somewhere in between. But I think this deal is something that the Prime Minister, under different circumstances, or given a different political behavior, should have championed and even taken credit for. He chooses not to, but that's, as I said, it's legitimate. That's not how I feel and think.
Does it make it difficult to make the case for a deal with Iran in Israel, given that it's not this president, it's the former one, who talked about wanting to wipe Israel off the map?
Yeah, it's very difficult. As I said at the outset, at the beginning of our conversation, Jeff, this is the very reason why Israelis are wary and anxious and apprehensive and suspicious of Iran. And any idea floated out there that Iran is going to change for the better and mellow and make all these kind of behavioral adjustments on the geopolitical scale are falling on deaf ears in Israel. It is very difficult. The political spectrum in Israel is very critical of this agreement. However, the military intelligence establishment, past and present, seems to take a different view, and they are basically saying, and when I say they, it's former heads of the Mossad, the equivalent of your CIA, mm-hmm. Former chiefs of staffs of the military, former chiefs of military intelligence, and so on, not all, but many, seem to say that, all right, this is not a perfect deal, but this is something that Israel can and should live with, and we should think about tomorrow, not dissect and commiserate about yesterday.
Does Israel simply have to look strong in so many circumstances that it can no longer afford to even give an inch in any sort of negotiations?
Oh, I think Israel is strong irrespective, and I think that this is perhaps where the public debate in Israel is going on right now. You have someone like Mr. Netanyahu who adheres to what you just presented, that, that Israel needs to be strong and cannot give up an inch on this, and anything that you do to that extent and to that effect would make you look weak, and it's all about perception. And on the other hand, you have a former prime minister, Mr. Barak, who was also a chief of the military staff, who's saying, look, this agreement would allow Iran to become nuclear probably within 12 years. But even then, Israel should not panic or I feel that it is threatened and weakened, because Israel remains the strongest power in the Middle East. So, again, these two assumptions or these two positions or approaches are both legitimate. And so, yeah, it is about looking strong, but the question is, do you look strong if you try to undermine this, or do you concentrate on looking strong after this is a done deal?
All right. We will see what happens down the road. Alan Pincus is former consul general for Israel in New York City. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Take care.